It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello.
And we have a whole bunch of different news things. Now we have four things to get through. I'm going to start though with Mortal Kombat movie news.
Ooh,
because we did just cover this with last week when we covered the fact that Joe Taslim was being cast as Sub-Zero. But the writer Greg Russo got on Twitter and just said, look, let me put this to bed. Let me address the thing that everybody's asking. There will be fatalities in the movie, which is one of the things that we were speculating on.
Brilliant, thank God. And an R rating as well, which I guess we all speculated as well.
Yes, one of the things that he said, though, is that he said, I'm not going to say which fatalities are going to be in the movie,
right,
but there will be some, which makes me think that he's going to like take iconic ones like Scorpion's flame skull thing.
Well, this is the thing. How do you take the balance between those iconic ones when like Scorpion's ripping someone's spine and face off their body, and obviously, you know, a bunch of others like, all Scorpions from the older games, but then how do you make them new? Like, are they going to invent new ones? Are they just going to rip ones off or what?
Well, they're going to rip spines out. That's what I was going to ask, right, because you don't know Mortal Kombat as well as I do.
No.
So as a more casual fan,
yes,
which fatalities do you know?
Well, I think it was very evident there when I got to Sub-Zero's and then completely forgot what Scorpion's classic was. I know he's got one where the spear goes through the face, and then when he rips his face off and he breathes fire.
Yep.
But after that, I don't really know. Like,
I said Liu Kang, do you know what he transforms into?
Like a dragon?
Yeah! Thank you know that? Because I've been near you for so long.
No, it's because I used to play the Mortal Kombat games.
Right.
It's just in the most recent ones I've kind of dropped off. I know Kung Lao has his little hat that he slices people in half. But I don't know, are they going to go like simple? Like, except for me, in the older games, Scorpion ripping off his face and doing a breath of fire or Sub-Zero ripping out someone's spine is simple and satisfying. Or even like a stage fatality when you knock someone off the, is it like the pit?
Yeah.
The spikes
all the way down to the spikes.
They're really simple but effective. But the most recent games, I haven't played Mortal Kombat 11 yet, but I've obviously watched the compilation of all the fatalities, and those are ridiculous and complex and gruesome and awesome.
Yes.
So, like again, we were saying before, you're going to go for the more cartoony violence of recent games or the simple gut punches of old.
I mean, when we talked about it last week, we were on about the idea that if they have really good fight choreography, if they can find a way to sort of blend that fight choreography into a fatality, I like the idea of just some random flurry ending in an uppercut that takes a dude's head off or sends him flying into a pit of spikes below or whatever. I just kind of, if they're going to pick the iconic ones, because there's not that many, if any, fatalities in the original movies other than Goro ripping a dude in half or whatever. So I kind of want them to go down. I want a mix. I want the new stuff, the slapstick stuff, the itchy and scratchy Mortal Kombat 11 stuff.
Well, I have a question. If they're only going to include a few, which do you want to see? And because that would, you know, consequently mean that those characters also need to be in the film. So think about that wisely.
There's only one that I want to see, and that's Liu Kang transforming into a dragon. I want him to just be at the end of a fight and just do a pose, transform into a dragon, and then bite the guy in half. That's all I need him to do. I don't care how you do it.
It's too silly.
It's not. It's Mortal Kombat, right? You've got the theme song is a man screaming Mortal Kombat. That's all you need. I don't need him to do like some serious things.
Listen, all I'm saying is Mortal Kombat peaked at your wedding when we all sang the Mortal Kombat theme song.
You're not wrong. And if you're out there, then I recommend you put the Mortal Kombat theme on your wedding playlist too, because we had a lot of fun screaming Kano. Oh, Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage.
It was a damn good time. But you have some of the news.
I do. You know, this is the exact opposite of indulging in violence and indulging in explicit content, because Gears of War 5 is actually eliminating all references to smoking and characters smoking, because I will tell you why. The Truth Initiative,
okay,
anti-smoking corporation, have approached the E-League, who are hosting the E-League Gears of War Summer Showdown, I think it is, this weekend.
Okay.
And apparently this has been months in the making. They have they went to the coalition and were kind of like, you
the
know,
developers for Gears of War.
The developers of Gears of War. Sorry,
not some weird Illuminati
That would be getting the coalition just designed to stop smoking. No, they went to the developers of Gears of War 5, and apparently it was all their decision to, you know, remove any references to smoking from the game. In fact, Rod Ferguson from the coalition said, and I quote, "I've seen firsthand the devastating impact of smoking. It's always been important for me to not use smoking as a narrative device, which is why we made the conscious choice to avoid highlighting or glorifying smoking in Gears 5 and throughout the Gears of War universe moving forward."
So, my initial reaction to that is like, oh dear God, oh censorship, oh dear God, oh whatever. But having also seen the devastation of smoking firsthand, it is strange because you sort of think back. I'm going to go wide as hell here, human history style. Is smoking just this giant like mistake, this giant thing that we should never have done because it's only ever resulted in bad things?
Well,
minus a couple of cool shots in some cinema, of movies.
I'd say when smoking is used in movies or games, it's always sort of in a flip and throwaway. Look how cool I am, sort of like. Way you never like go into like the impacts of it. When you see drug use in movies, it's very much the opposite. It's never kind of just used like as a recreational fun. There is almost always a character who, you know, suffers from it, which I don't think you'd get when you see depictions of smoking. And this might be a new thing for the video game world, but the TV world has been dealing with this for a long time. If you're on like a network show in the US that you don't pay for, you can't show anyone smoking or anything like that. That's been in effect for years and years now. And even on the cable shows now, like The Walking Dead and stuff like that, HBO, they are starting to clamp down more and more on depictions of smoking. So the fact that it's coming to the gaming world is perhaps being inevitable, but who knows who will adopt it.
It makes me think, because obviously they want to clamp down on smoking because they don't want to encourage people to smoke. I don't know anybody who was encouraged to smoke through Gears of War, but I get the overall sort of movement towards it. It is like a weird thing, but I was thinking, oh well, what are we going to lose if they do this? And it's like there's like one character in Gears of War who smokes. It's called like Dozer or something, dude that like rides the big rigs. That's a cigar, and he's going to put that down.
Well, where I come down on this is like it's sort of, I think in the end run, it's probably going to be a good thing to not discourage people to try and smoke. At the same time, it's sort of, even in TV, it kind of feels untruthful to see a world where people aren't smoking, because it's kind of ignoring the problem. Perhaps is an issue when you could be tackling it head on. Like you don't sort of need to just eliminate depictions of smoking entirely. You need to strive for better depictions, perhaps. But at the same time, I was one of those youthful, impressionistic young lads who did think smoking was very cool because I saw Solid Snake pound the ciggy back, and I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll smoke because of this.
I had an internal conflict with that because I had a family member who smoked and I hated it. I hated the smell. I hated what happened with them and everything. But one of my favourite people things in the world, both David Hayter and Solid Snake, were chugging them.
Same with me. Like, my entire family smoked, saw the negative effects that long-term smoking can have on you. At the same time, look at cinema, look at games, everyone is knocking them back, and it's a weird dichotomy because like we were just saying, in those depictions, nobody gets hurt from smoking. I mean, yes, Snake's health goes down. I know someone's going to mention that in the comments.
Very slowly.
Even in the...
Also, he found some lasers.
He did find... Yes, that's exactly.
Find the lasers. But I'll just use the thermal goggles and don't make the air all polluted for the person next to
you. I've been going through Metal Gear Solid now, and that's what I've been using.
It's really good, isn't it?
It's really, really good.
Yeah, also, no one in games or movies ever says, bloody hell, it stinks. It really smells like... No one ever got that across. Anyway, the next piece of news that I have is the thing from Ubisoft and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I didn't really see this coming, although there was an earlier version of it, and that happened with Beyond Good and Evil 2. Basically, Ubisoft have teamed up with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's company, HitRecord. They want to try and crowdsource a whole bunch of assets for Watch Dogs 3, and you can apply this to Beyond Good and Evil 2 as well. Their whole idea, and this is what Joseph Gordon-Levitt's company does, is that they're trying to assemble things like songs or different pieces of artwork or whatever from the community. So they'll take like 5 or 6 different people. Maybe someone's played drums, maybe someone's done the vocals, whatever. You put all those things together and you get a final product, a final song that might then get put in the game. And Ubisoft want to take those things, put them in the game, and they want to pay the assemblance of contributors $2,000 split between the amount of people that put that thing together. So if you're lucky enough to be a one person powerhouse and you get all the way through, you get £2,000. It still seems to be this massively controversial thing though, because of the idea of speculative work, which happens across various different industries and various different mediums. That idea of some final company benefiting so much from a community. Where do you come down on it?
It's an interesting one because I think you kind of look at it like that, and it's not a sort of cynical view is, oh, they're getting people to do our work for us in a way. But I like the fact that they're paying them. I like that they're encouraging experimentation and creativity. Like, the songs they're going to make for Watch Dogs 3, I imagine, are going to fit that world because it's this dystopian sci-fi thing where it's kind of like the cyberpunk, what the team behind Cyberpunk was saying.
CDPR?
CDPR, when they were on about wanting to create a brand new genre of music for like the world. think this is a good way to do it for Watch Dogs by getting a bunch of creative people together, letting them hash it out, create something mad with the prospect of either creating something nice or getting actually paid for it further down the line. I think these sort of practices and systems can go kind of wrong and kind of become exploitative, but so far from what I've seen in Watch Dogs 3 and Beyond Good and Evil 2, the messaging seems to be positive. We've seen none of these games come out yet, so you know, the end result might be different, but I think it's quite a cool way to engage with the community and give something back and collaborate.
That's what they'll continually, they'll go down that route. Like, obviously, like, it's obviously a double-edged sword. On Twitter already, there's been a whole bunch of different, there's been some backlash to it. Mike Biffle from Biffle Games, who you might know from that game whose name I've already forgotten, but he's doing the new John Wick one. He did that thing where it's the top-down Metal Gear tribute.
Oh, you love that game.
I did love that. Volume, it's called. And I didn't love that game. It's pretty good. It's like a 7 out of 10 anyway. He was on Twitter and he had this whole thing, and he was just saying about, he said Ubisoft should do better, and it's not what I expect from Ubisoft. He did suggest some potential ways to do it better, though. He said, do an open call for submissions of existing work from aspiring musicians, invest in a proper review process, commission the work that fits and pay them to produce the work like you would with any other worker. So like, his whole thing is that if you're asking them to do, you know, grade A, triple A style work, then they should be paid accordingly. Yes. Obviously, if you dissect the, or you know, divide the $2,000, pounds or whatever between a team of people, that's nothing compared to how much money Watch Dogs 3 will actually make.
It's one of those things where it's like, in an ideal world, I would love that to happen. But as someone who did a lot of like freelance stuff and volunteer work for exposure like in the past and didn't get paid for it at all, like this is sadly not how the industry works. I hate that it's not, but I think this is a good step to potentially be getting to that point.
Can I interest you in a 6,000 word breakdown of the entire Metal Gear Solid series, which I got paid for £5, not for these guys but for someone else? Would you like to read that?
I'll read that.
Yeah, I put a lot of time into it. Got a good £5.
It just doesn't feel like your time's getting repaired.
It's really good.
It's unfair.
I got a nice ice cream for it, though. That's good. It was like a really nice ice cream. What's your next thing?
My next thing and final thing is that, you know, we hear these stories all the time, but last week the BBC published a story about how a child emptied their parents' bank account by playing FIFA and just buying loads and loads of FIFA points. And since then, that sort of like blew up online. A bunch of people responded to it, including Labour. Someone associated with Labour called Tom Watson, a party in the UK for you guys who don't know that, who tweeted out the article and said that essentially called for tighter regulation and called for loot boxes to be looked into. He even called loot boxes a gateway to gambling. And since then, the BBC have done a follow-up report and have sort of compiled a bunch of stories from people who have replied to the tweets, parents, gamers, and sort of just sort of gone into how many people end up emptying their parents' bank account. Yeah. Because there is no way to kind of cap the spending in this game, which is like an issue. I know there's a very obvious response, and that's to say, well, don't let your child do it.
Yeah, don't tie your credit card to Clash of Clans.
But there are so many sort of like intricacies that are lost if you just kind of make that comment. Like there is one story about parents sort of wrote in and talked about their quote. They have a 22-year-old disabled son who has cerebral palsy, a complex epilepsy, autism, learning difficulties, and the approximate cognitive ability of a 7-year-old child who spent £3,000 on a mobile game. And they were just sort of talking about how these practices, without any kind of regulation or caps or anything like that, kind of, you know, end up kind of like abusing people who are vulnerable, young people, obviously disabled people,
But I mean, like, that was the thing that, like, obviously Jim Sterling's been rallying against this stuff for years, and like they, like, because all those mentalities that go into those sorts of games are like pretty much inherently predatory. It's very rare that you're coming up against something where you need to purchase more to keep going, you need to buy more lives or buy more health, or you know, you rejuvenate your energy for that day or whatever. It's very rare that you're coming up against that stuff going like, well, that feels like a fair mechanic, that feels like I can interact with this on a level playing field. Like I said, they're very much diametrically opposed to get as much money out of you as possible, and when you come up with a test case like this, it only proves just how kind of sickening they can be.
Well, that's it, because I mean, when you buy something in the PSN store, you can have two-factor authentication where you have to put in your password, you have to go through a bunch of steps before you can actually purchase it. I don't think a lot of games, especially not a lot of mobile games, have that kind of barrier, so you know, you can't just say, oh, take your credit card off, because your credit card needs to be on to play for PlayStation Plus or something like that, to pay for a bunch of other services. Like, at this point in 2019, your credit card or debit card or whatever is sort of tied to everything, and you can't just kind of take that off without affecting a bunch of different systems. So I do think there needs to be kind of potentially caps or more regulation inside the games themselves, rather on a wider system.
I would totally agree. I mean, looking at what Nintendo have done, like they have a whole thing where you can, if you're a parent, you can literally monitor in real time what's happening with your child's account. You can close certain things down and you can literally, like I said, monitor it in real time. But I think all of this is just endemic of an industry that has gotten away with way too much, especially this generation. And it was going to have a tipping point eventually. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, all the stuff that's happening in the US, all the different conversations around the illegality of loot boxes, the stuff in Belgium, the stuff in China, it was going to happen. Like they've been getting away with these sorts of predatory practices for way too long. They've made an absolute killing in terms of how much money they made, but it was always this. It was always a gambling mentality. It was always going to come back around, and I'm quite glad that it's happening. I'm always against censoring art or whatever the hell, but these things aren't art. So like, it's I'm kind of game for test cases to be made known and to sort these things out.
I feel like over the past few months, especially the messaging behind anti loot box, you know, like people standing out, like the Labour Party Tom Watson guy here. Mm-hmm. It's just, I feel like it's getting more momentum. There was that great study that linked loot boxes to problem gambling, and that sort of word problem gambling keeps popping up over and over again. That's becoming sort of like standard by these people who are trying to push back against loot boxes. Mm-hmm. And the fact that like people, even like these government officials, even know what loot boxes are is kind of like a step in the right direction for me talking about it as if everyone knows, because it sort of feels like the veil is being pulled back or the rug is being sort of put back into place, and video game companies just can't get away with the same stuff that they've been getting away with.
Well, it's like if you contrast the Inquisition between Mark Zuckerberg and the all those old dudes that were trying to talk about what the crap with Facebook is, mm-hmm. versus EA's little Inquisition thing, where they were like, this is literally loot boxes. Oh, we don't call it that. We call it surprise mechanics on EA's part. And it's like, just that, those are the conversations you need to have, where you need to literally, essentially get them up the proverbial wall and just be like, you know, what are you doing? What have you been doing? Look at how much money you're making and exactly how. This sort of stuff has infuriated me for many years, so I'm quite glad that there is like a tipping point. But yeah, I guess we'll sort of keep an eye on it and see what happens from here. For now, though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
What a good outro.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.